Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Miliac 2000, released 25 years ago today. DJ, 98FM DJ, and of course iRadio as well. Mark McCabe is with me in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How do you feel when you hear that now, 25 years on?
Well, the first thing is I love the fact that you had that little cheeky grin.
Oh, I love it. Do you know what? There's few songs, Mark, right, that I can catapult myself back in time and can remember where I was listening to them. And I was telling you off air here that I have a fairly vivid memory of being in the Dome nightclub in Bundoran in Donegal, right? And we won't get into ages now and stuff like this, right? But I remember being there and hearing Maniac 2000, and it was the floor filler of that period. And I think it must have been, I'm going to say it was 2001. So at that stage, it would have been out about a year.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly sure that you were probably the first DJ I ever paid to go to see, because I'm confident that you actually played in the Dome in Bundoran. So
I think I did.
Yeah. There were so many, I don't remember. Yeah.
There was also a story that I got fed back to me, which was that there was some guy going around pretending to me to be me.
Did I pay him my 10
so
pounds?
It's possible.
That would have been Euro, that actually.
You went to see Dark McDade or something like that.
Quite possibly. Yeah, but it's amazing.
Yeah. And you're kind of symbolic to me in my mind, because I met you, of course, down at the Electric Picnic last year.
You did, yeah. And
you kind of summarise an awful lot of people that I meet, and that is that you look quite serious and very together, but there is this little glint in your eye when this track comes on, and you just kind of, it brings you back to wherever it is.
Oh, it's amazing.
You were at that time. Yeah. And I just love that. I love seeing people who look so respectable and so together, but for that 5 minutes.
And then you know me and you realise it's all a front.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah,
it's
talk about the Electric Picnic. Last year you were performing at the Today FM Soundgarden, and all of us and like the staff, I mean, probably outrageous. I don't know how we got away with it, but when you performed Maniac 2000, we all came out and took over the stage.
Yeah, it was just brilliant.
Because it was wild behaviour.
Yeah, I'd only just joined 98FM, and this is my first time in Marconi and meeting an awful lot of you.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really nice welcome.
Well, good. So, we're glad to be able to do that, because you, I suppose, provided the Irish, I think, national dance anthem of a lot of our youth. When you were producing this, you know, like when you bring us back 25 years ago when the song came out, had you any concept at all that it was going to be what it was?
No, none whatsoever. I mean,
what, 10 weeks at number one?
10 weeks at number one, and fought off the Backstreet Boys, Madonna, Westlife, stopped Westlife getting 7 consecutive number ones or something like that.
About that, so, now. I'm a big fan of them. So.
Okay, sorry. But no, I mean, we were just, you know, we were kids ultimately, and this was our little thing that we had going on. And you know, we got pushed into this sort of real world environment of the music business, and were totally unprepared and just didn't realize, you know, what it was we had actually done. Because at that time, it was very much about record labels controlling what was happening and who was out there, and very manufactured and very little independent sort of release coming through. Because it was all physical, it was all CDs, cassettes or vinyl. There was no streaming. So the charts was a big deal. And, you know, labels were really impacted by this track because they had spent so much money ensuring that Madonna would, you know, make it to number one, because that's what Madonna did. Yeah.
What was it though about this track that really hooked people?
I think it just sounds so different, and it's like it's the perfect storming in the sense that it has all the elements that you need to just have a good time and, you know, enjoy yourself in this kind of little bundle of 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that we recorded it live and had that audience reaction, it made people a little bit more open and less hesitant to go, I don't know whether I like this, because they were hearing a reaction. And when it came on in a club, you heard this big scream at the start of it and you weren't sure whether that was actually
from the people
room.
In the club. Or
yeah. Or so I think people just kind of went along with it. But yeah, I guess over the years, it's just it amazes me that we're still even talking about it these days.
I know you took a break from music production for a while, didn't you? After Maniac.
Yeah.
Because that's, I suppose, that's the song, really. I know you have many more songs after that and I'm Feeling It and stuff, but Maniac 2000 is the one that people is so synonymous
for
with
sure.
Mark McCabe.
Yeah, yeah. And I really struggled with that at the beginning because I didn't want to be known as the guy who always did that because, you know, a lot of my peers were sort of sneering at it. It wasn't very cool at the time. People didn't know what to make of it, even though, you know, punters and people in the clubs were loving it.
It wasn't in the charts for 10 weeks consecutively for no reason. Yeah.
But my peers and my sort of naivety at the time with, you know, being younger, I probably listened to more of the negative than the positive, and I wasn't seeing the positive.
But you were so young at the time that it came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like early
19.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, it was tough. And for me, it was just, oh, this is just a calling card. I'll just put this out and this is my foot in the door of the music industry. I didn't realise that it would be the disruptor that kind of changed, you know, quite a few things. And it was the start of, you know, new media and, you know, Napster, which turned into Spotify and Apple Music and streaming and so on. So it was a really weird transitional time and I didn't know how to deal with it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can imagine that, you know, and I suppose then for many years you worked in 2FM as well.
Yeah.
You know, you were DJing, I suppose, out in the DJ set road, doing nightclubs and gigs. And
I gave that up because it didn't make sense to me what I wanted to play versus what people wanted, which was Maniac. That didn't make sense. So I was going into clubs and I was playing like stupidly, you know, stuff that just didn't mix with Maniac, thinking I'm a cool, credible DJ, which I wasn't. They just wanted to hear Maniac. So there was 55 minutes of other stuff and then Maniac and they went mad.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's funny, like, cause when you talked about Electric Picnic last year and performing and like, people just give the people what they want.
For sure, yeah.
But, you know?
But now it kind of makes sense because I can play. Before it was like, how do I get to Maniac? How do I get to that point? Because it's 142 beats per minute, which is quite fast. Whereas the stuff that I was playing before 20 years ago would start about 128 BPM. And it would be a real struggle to get from that to Maniac.
Yeah.
But now the way things have gone, it actually all works together because a lot of the stuff that I'm playing is remixes of stuff that was out then that sort of fits now.
Yeah.
So it actually makes sense 25 years later, which is quite bizarre.
So when I'm sort of your audience, the kind of the 40-year-old, like late 30s, that's a lot of, I suppose, who really remember you from the early days.
I would consider you my core audience. But this is the other fascinating thing, which is that like at that Electric Picnic gig, for example, and at many of the other shows that I've done, there's been people from 14, 15, you know.
Yeah, it's had a resurgence still, hasn't it?
60 or 70. I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there is definitely a little bit of an issue with the dance scene at the moment in the sense that it is sampling an awful lot from the 90s and noughties. So there is that sort of double end. So you could appreciate a track for when you remember it back in the day, whereas people now appreciate that track because it's been remixed or reproduced.
Do you, are Irish people typically, are we dance music consumers?
Definitely.
We are.
Yeah. I mean, we've had hits like Delirium Silence, which didn't really do too good, you know, in Europe, but was a massive hit here.
Was Maniac big in Europe?
No.
So it's an Irish tune, really.
It's an Irish tune. Yeah.
Do you know quite a few of my friends have got married and Maniac 2000 has been their entrance to the wedding room song?
Yeah. So weekends on my phone are basically videos from people's weddings.
That's all it is.
And it's like,
it's not fantastic, though.
So, yeah, it's great.
Your son, am I right in saying he is following in your footsteps?
He is.
Yeah. Is that, do you, like, is that a nice thing? Is it frightening? Is it?
No, it's amazing. Yeah. He comes to all my shows.
Ah.
He either runs the lighting, which he's got really good at. So he's got that kind of foundation in sort of production that he's really interested in lighting. But he's quite shy. So he's trying to come out of himself in terms of being a DJ and a producer. But he played the Three Arena show. And it was the first time I sat at the side of the stage and he was kind of putting his hands up and people reacted so well to him that it was a real sort of proud sort of dad moment.
Yeah.
And he, you know, all the messages I was getting after, I was getting more messages saying that, you know, hey, your set was good, but your son was really good.
That's got to be sickening, isn't it? I'm joking.
No, it's great.
It's amazing. So you're back, I suppose, over the summer. There's probably festivals we'll look to have you and big gigs coming up. And,
Living the dream.
Yeah, so, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's really nice to be doing it now with a bit more maturity and just not really sort of focusing on the negative side. Not that there is that much at all. It's mostly just positive and people saying, you know, I love that song. I have so many good memories. And to be the chariot for that is just amazing.
Fantastic. Listen, continued success. I know people can hear more of you from on 98FM and iRadio as well. Yeah. You enjoy that?
I do. I love it. Yeah. So it's two different shows. Yeah. The 98 is a kind of a nostalgia show, but the iRadio is kind of new music. So I get to push a lot of new Irish dance music and stuff like that as well.
We really appreciate you coming in today for
my
chat.
My pleasure.
Not at all. DJ Mark McCabe, thanks a million for joining us here to celebrate 25 years of Maniac 2000.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.